Welcome aboard Airplane Mode, Confessions of a Flight Attendant. I am your host, Chantel Francis, here with one of my flight attendant friends, Victoria. How are you doing today, Victoria? What are we doing
together,
and how did this all come about?
I know, right? Like, we were just taught, we've always wanted to do something together, and it's just, like, nice that this has, like, finally come together, that we're collaborating.
Absolutely. We were working on a flight together last Saturday, and we were just kind of talking about, she was just asking me, like, she knows about Reality Realness and about, it's, I usually talk about reality television shows, and she's like, well, did you ever consider doing anything, not necessarily reality, but a little bit outside the box? And so she suggested talking about flight attendant confessions. And I was like, yes, I have thought about doing something about, you know, my life as a flight attendant and all the stories that we hear and that we've experienced ourselves. And so I was like, do you know what? Let's do it. So we put it all together, and a week later we've gone live.
Right? No turning back.
We worked together yesterday. We generally work together every Saturday. It's kind of like a flight that we both like to work on, and that's to St. Lucia. But unfortunately, Victoria had to book off this week. So do you want? Maybe we'll talk firstly about terminology about flight life. So booking off, we call it boffing, B-O-F-F, because that's how it shows up on our schedule. But why don't you just tell us maybe a little bit about the process of booking off?
So basically, if you need to take a day off, you call crew scheduling and you say, you give them your, so crew scheduling is who handles our operations and makes sure all the staff, like all the flights are staffed. And if someone needs to book off, they're responsible to like, look to restaff the flight to make sure that it leaves on time. So basically for booking off or taking a personal day, which is what I did, is you call, give your employee number and just let them know you're taking a personal day or you need to book off. And then you're removed from the flight. And when you're feeling better, then you call back and you book back on.
And what's really great about it is that, like, it's kind of no questions asked, you know what I mean? Like, you just call in, you have to, generally speaking, give 4 hours before you're supposed to be checking in. And so checking in is the time that you have to be at the airport ready to, for the flight. And so for us, it's an hour and 15 minutes, because we do have to travel to, another smaller, terminal, but it's about, usually, generally speaking, it's about an hour before departure time is when most flight attendants will be meeting and pilots will be meeting at the aircraft. Before we get into more terminology, though, I would love to know your origin story here, Victoria. How did you become a flight attendant? Why did you do it? And how long have you been in the industry?
So I've been flying for about, this is my 13th year. And in my 20s, I decided, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I was like, let me just take this travel and tourism college course. So I took that. And when the teacher was like listing off all the things that you can do with this course, I was like, flight attendant, that's what I want to do. So then I started applying to it throughout my 20s. I applied to so many different airlines. And, you know, I went through all the cattle calls where they just like have everyone meet at a hotel and there's like thousands of you and all that stuff. And I did that. I didn't get into any airline for just rejection letter after rejection letter. And then I was like, that's it. I give up. And about a year went by and I was like, I'm not going through this process again. And I started working in cosmetics at Shoppers. And one of my friends, well, customer came in and she knew that I wanted to be a flight attendant. And she's like, I heard about this airline. I think you should try one more time. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, I'll do it. I'll try once more. And then if I don't get it, then that's really it. And I did, and I got the job, and here I am 13 years later.
Hey, you probably didn't know this, but I was a cosmetician at Shoppers at one point too. It was one of my first jobs.
Oh my gosh, I never knew that.
Okay, so my origin story is similar in the sense that there's the similarities and there's also some differences. So I was living in Vancouver, and I can't tell the story without saying the name. Okay, I'll figure it out. So I was living in Vancouver and I was working on set. So I work in film and television at times. And this girl that was sitting beside me in the makeup chair, she was like, yeah, I work for, you know, like 10 times a month and I make about $2,500 a month. And I was like, oh, what, doing what? And she's like, oh yeah, I'm a flight attendant for Air Transat. And I was like, oh, like that sounds pretty good. Like, do you need to have a second language? She's like, no, you just need to have like, you to be like proficient a little bit and like be willing to work on the second language within 6 months. And she's like, I don't speak any French at all. And it's been fine. I've been working there for years. And I was like, oh, okay. So she told me all about how to apply for Air Transat. And I was like, she said that you're going to have a two-on-one interview and then a second two-on-one interview. And then you're going to be led to do a uniform fitting and have a medical. And everything is going to be happening in the same day when you get the job. So I was like, okay, I usually interview pretty well. I've never really had a problem getting a job. And so I go to the interview. And the first two-on-one interview was really good. I did half of it in French. The guy's like, oh my God, I can't wait to see you in the skies. Like, you're amazing. And then he's like, I'll walk you out. I was like, you're gonna walk me out? Like, I thought I was gonna have like two-on-one interview with HR. And, you know, like, I thought I was gonna go through the process if he's gonna see me in the skies. And so he walks me out and I was kind of like, I guess I didn't get the job. And so I was kind of like annoyed that I was misled. Like, I just like, I knew that I didn't get the job, but I spent my time here for a couple hours. So two weeks later, I get the rejection letter. So there's the similarities. Like, I got a rejection letter from an airline as well, saying like, regret to inform you that you have not been hired as a flight attendant here. So I was like, well, I didn't want the job anyways, like whatever. So at that time I was still go-go dancing. And so I was working at this club for a DJ. It was called the Electric Owl in Vancouver. And so I was dancing on the stage. And then the following week I was working at another club. It was kind of more of an after hours club, and I was backstage. And this guy comes up to me and he's like, hey, yeah, I saw you last week at the DJ. Like, I saw you performing on stage. I was like, okay, yeah, cool. And he shows me a picture of myself dancing on this stage for this DJ. I was like, oh, okay, that is me. And so we got to talking. And I was just telling him how I was annoyed about my experience at that other airline. And so he's like, well, why don't you come and work for us? And I'm like, what's us? And he said the name of where we work. And I'm like, what's that? Like, I'd never even heard of it before in my life. And he was like, well, it's kind of like, you know, Air Transat, but we're really fun. I was like, well, I'll give it a shot, but like, I don't care if I get the job. And so I used him as a reference. I end up getting the job. And I was like, well, I'm not going to change my lifestyle. Like, if I pass the training, then I'll do it as long as I do it. So then the training, which is really hard, we should talk a little bit about the training.
Yeah, for sure.
Passed the training. And then I was like, well, you know what? I'll see how long I do it for. If it interferes with my life, I'm going to quit. And that was in 2014. So I'm still here. And it's all because I was go-go dancing at two spots. So
I love that.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people say, is that like, when you start, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. Like, within the first week, I think a lot of people know. It either sucks you in or you're like, that's it. Yeah.
And how many people are left from your class? So my training class was, there was a morning class that I think had 20 people. And then I was in the afternoon class and we had 20 people. I think we have, in Toronto, it's just me and one other girl that transferred over. And then in Vancouver, I think there's still four people from the two classes, morning and night or afternoon. What about you?
I think, yeah, we had about three classes with about like 20 people in each of them. And there's about four or five of us left just from our class, like my class that I was in.
And you said that was 13 years ago? Wow.
Yeah.
How was your training experience?
It was stressful for sure. It was like 5-6 weeks. Like, I had a headache every day because I feel like they just, so much information at once. And it's like, I feel like it's designed that way. Like, it just puts a lot of pressure on you, and it's like you either can handle the pressure and you pass or you don't.
Yeah, the pressure was insane. I'm going to tell you my pressure story about training. Hi, yeah. Level One Nikki. Thanks for joining us here to get the tea on flight life. And Ben is here as well, saying being a flight attendant sounds interesting. It is really interesting. We have so many stories that we've experienced or heard about. Like, one thing that I love about the job is it's always a gossip fest. Like, it's like, whether it's you're gossiping about other crew members or, you know, gossiping about what the passenger did last week or last flight or ground staff or what happened on a layover. Like, there's always so many interesting stories going on. And a lot of people just don't, you can't talk to people in your life about it because they just don't get it. They just don't understand.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love coming to work because it's like, oh my God, what happened? What happened on your flight? Oh my God, tell me about that person. You know what I mean? So fun.
So many stories for sure.
So my initial training was like yours, was 5 weeks, and it was really stressful. You do have to, where we work, we do have to receive 90% at least on every single exam. You're allowed to fail 2 exams only, and you can't fail it more than once. Like, you can fail it once, they do review it and then allow you to retake the exam, but you can't fail it again. So you only have 2 out of the whole 5 weeks to fail, and it's all on information that you have absolutely, like, I've never heard of before in my life. I don't know what a GERT bar is. I don't know what, like, it is, like, all these things that I'm just like, so much new information. And some of you may know that I am also into spirituality and energy work and stuff like that. Victoria also is involved in that realm of creating your own destiny and all that stuff. And so I actually went to an energy worker to help me during my, like, when I was training, because I was like, I was so stressed about, like, having to get these exams and, like, learning about oxygen and, like, getting the fire extinguisher. Like, there was just so many things that were just so hard and new information that, like, I was super stressed. And so, and I'm not a stressful person, so I'm like, I need to go and clear this energy. So I went to an energy worker, and she cleared and reframed and, like, cleared my energy. The next day, on the Monday when I came back, everybody's like, oh my God, like, how, like, you're different, like, you're so calm, like, you're not nervous anymore. And I'm like, I told them about the energy worker, and I think 3 other people went to the energy worker to get, like, you know, their chi centered so that they can continue on with the training.
That's so funny, because I also was that during my training was the first time that I found someone to do Reiki on me. And but I started seeing her all the time, like, throughout the training, and she would always tell me, she was like, when you're doing our emergency drills, she's like, just imagine me sitting at 4 Bravo. So that got me through.
So you say 4 Bravo, let's go back into terminology. There's a lot of things that we do as flight attendants that I don't realize is flight attendant terminology until I'm around people doing that. And they're like, what are you talking about? For instance, I was talking to my best friends. I'm like, yeah, the PAX were really annoying. She's like, what's a PAX? So what's a PAX, Victoria?
The passenger.
Passengers, PAX is our abbreviation for passengers. Some other abbreviations that we have are with all the different airport codes. Some of them we will just say as a word. So for instance, Punta Cana, its airport code is PUJ. So we call Punta Cana Pooj. Do you have some other ones?
We have Puerto Plata, which is POP.
P-O-P. Mm-hmm. We have Montreal, which is Y-U-L. Which is Yule.
What else do we have?
We have S and U, which is Santa Clara, Cuba, which is SNU.
SNU, yeah.
Cancun, C-U-N, is Coon. So we do a service for our flights, and it's called Buy On Board. So where they have the opportunity to purchase any snacks or alcoholic beverages. And so that's called Bob. So Buy On Board is Bob.
Yeah.
The labs. So the labs are the washrooms, the lavatories. That's something people are like, I'm always telling the passengers, I'm like, just throw the garbage in the lab. And I'm like, they actually might not know what a lab is. I'm always thinking that.
Yeah. What about our gash cart for our garbage?
Mm-hmm. Gash. The galley. So the area where we have all of our trolleys is called the galley. And I think there's also the galley area on ships as well. And that's like the kitchen area where they think hang out though. Like, I think it's where kind of where the crew mess is, but like where the kitchen is as well, I believe, but something similar. There's one more. Oh, our supervisors, we do call them the soups as well.
Yeah. That's
any other terminology that you can think of right now?
I don't know. I'm trying to think what else we have.
But we do have a story, or you do have one, that's in the news, well, not recently, but in the past, about Punta Cana. So maybe you want to share that story.
Okay, yeah, about that. I tell everyone to watch that documentary because I just find it interesting, about cocaine cargo, about the Punta Cana, the Canadian crew that got stuck there for 7 to 8 months. They were under like house arrest. It's so interesting. It has like a part one and part two on YouTube. And I just found it so interesting that, and there's actually this, older man in the documentary. He was like a retired cop from the Dominican. And he says that Dominican Republic is a direct pipeline from Colombia to Canada, how they get all their drugs in. And he says that Punta Cana is the absolute worst. He's like, that is the worst airport.
The worst in what way?
Like the most traffic, like drug trafficking comes through that airport and those like with the employees and whatever. I don't know who's involved, but it's just fascinating that cocaine cargo, if you want to watch it on YouTube.
I'm definitely going to watch that documentary. I haven't seen that. Speaking of documentaries, in training, they showed us episodes of Mayday. Did you watch episodes of Mayday in your training as well?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like
that was another like tactic almost. Like, can you handle this? I don't know. Like,
because a lot of people do ask, like, you know, with turbulence and stuff like that, like, are you scared? Like, were you afraid of flying? What's, do you have any fear of heights? Stuff like that.
You know, what's really funny is that I was never terrified of heights. And then in my 20s, I suddenly became so terrified. Like I can't even go down an escalator. If I'm like, to this day, if I'm at a mall, I will wait for someone to go down before me and then I'll go behind them. Like, I don't know. I just feel like weak in my knees. I have never had any kind of issue with flying. It's like, it's just a totally different world for me.
Yeah, I don't have a fear of flying at all, personally. When my brother, I was been flying since I was a baby, so that could be a reason why. I'm also an air sign, so I'm always like, I feel like air signs, some of them really like air and flight and being in the sky. I'd rather that way over being in the water, for sure. So I've been traveling since I was a baby to either England, or my dad for the most of my life lived in the States. And me and my brother, when there was turbulence, we thought it was like a roller coaster. We're like, "Wee!" And like, we would, every time we landed, we would rate like how good the landing was. We're like, "Oh, that was a 7. Oh, that was a 6. Oh, that was a 5. Like, we definitely rate the landings, which we kind of do as well. Now, how do you feel about some of the landings that we've had on board? And how do you feel about passengers clapping?
Oh my, yeah. Sometimes I want to join in. Like, if I don't hear them clapping, I've gotten so accustomed to them clapping. I all like say to my crew member, I'm like, we should just start like clapping in the back. Like landings, yeah, like, you know, I've seen my share of, like, I know who, it's personality based, I feel too. It's like, when I know who I'm flying with, I know how the landing's gonna be.
That's true. There's right? Definitely, yeah, I'm just like, ooh, okay, but they're coming in hot, like, it's not gonna be a good one. Yeah. or like, oh, you know, they're gonna be smooth and it's just gonna skip and like be seamless. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there are definitely pet peeves that happen in the world of flight life. Do you have any pet peeves that you want to share?
I off the top of my head, it's definitely bare feet, or just like when I see people going barefoot into the lab, even with their either barefoot or with their socks on. Like, I understand, like, the whole thing about taking your shoes off. I want my, like, you know, you get swollen in the air. You want your feet to have circulation. Like, at your seat, it's different. But when I see them walking barefoot into the lab, I'm like, you know, there's pee on the floor. Most of the time. And, like, most of the, I'll always tell them. And then they'll just say, oh, it doesn't matter. And they'll just go in.
And also, though, with, like, children, they allow children sometimes to go in with their bare feet or their socked feet. And, like, you know, then they're playing with their kids' feet. And, like, you know, like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, what are you doing? It's so dirty. Like, your seat's really dirty as well. But, like, we're going to get to why one reason why your seat could be really dirty shortly. But, like, the lab is so dirty. You know, if there's turbulence and there's a guy using the lab, like, and their aim isn't great, it might not be water on the ground.
Yeah, most of the time it isn't, exactly.
Okay, so we have a comment here. So Lena's saying, have you thought about pitching a reality show similar to Below Deck, but for an airline? I obviously have thought about it. I am writing a TV series based around some of my experiences and stories of flight life. But I feel like it would only work with, like, a small, like, not a big national company. I feel like it would only really work with, like, a small company. What do you think about, like, how that could work?
Yeah, I think that would be great. Like, I feel like that would do so well.
Because people, like, are definitely really interested. I'm just thinking about, like, could they be able to have, like, air crew or camera crew on board? Like, then all the passengers would have to be signing releases.
Oh, yeah. I don't think like that. I think more making it like Pan Am. Remember that show? Like, except a different angle of, like, different storyline.
Well, so Below Deck. So you have not seen Below Deck? It's a Bravo reality show?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I haven't watched it.
So basically what happens is, like, there's these charter yachts. And there's a crew that's kind of working on a yacht for a whole season. And so they have different guests that are coming onto the yacht to, and it's, you know, the camera crew is following all their experiences and they have confessionals and stuff like that. And so I just feel like in order for it to work, it would have to be like a private charter airline that would be, you know, showing what that goes on with, like, the guests that come on board. And then if they, you know, have to stay for a week with the guests, like, in, you know, Punta Cana or whatever, like, showing that. I just don't know if it would work with the national company.
Yeah, I get
but
that.
I would love it. Like, I'm in. Yeah, like, too. I watch, or I'd be a part of it. Like, 100%. I love it. So many crazy stories. So many. Well, okay, so pet peeves. I definitely find it frustrating when passengers bring smelly food on board. So whether it's eggs are just, like, not great. Like, even other flight attendants will be like, I brought eggs today. I'm sorry, I brought boiled eggs. And, like, they had to, like, give, like, a warning that they brought that's smelly, because, like, you just don't want to smell some foods on board. One time this passenger had cauliflower that I think just slightly went off. And so, like, you know, it has that really, really pungent smell. Cauliflower already kind of smells like poop, but, like, it just was even more. And so she gave it to me to throw away, and I put it in the gash, and it just, like, the whole back galley smelled like rotting cauliflower, and it just, like, it just wouldn't go away. It wouldn't get out of my nose at all.
Oh my gosh.
Yesterday, I worked with another Victoria. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to say her name. Another girl. And she told me a story about one of her pet peeves. And so she calls it the crazy sandwich lady. And this lady was sitting in the front row. And it was a normal flight. And she started out normal at the beginning of the flight. She's really nice and quiet. And as people started coming onto the plane, like, you know, she's realizing that she's not sitting by herself. Like, she's going to be sitting around other people. And so she didn't like the people that she was sitting around, that was sitting around her. Like, I don't know if they're, like, what was the reason why she didn't like them, but she just was just growing more annoyed by being around other people. So she started complaining to the flight attendants about them. And so in order to combat these people that are sitting around her, she's decided to go into her bag and open up a tuna fish sandwich that smelled really, really, really bad, hopingly, or like really strong, hoping that it would like make them want to move away from them. I guess she's not realizing that you can't, unless it's not an empty plane, like they ain't going anywhere, but she does this. They don't move. And so she's still really annoyed. And so then she decides to take out her perfume. And it's like this like pungent perfume, and spraying her perfume around her and around them, hoping that they would move because of the smells. And so they didn't move. She just was just complaining about them the whole time.
Oh my
gosh. How do you feel about that? I would be telling her, like, excuse me, ma'am, like, no perfume, please. Like, this is not your own personal space.
Yeah, I always want to tell people that like complain about the seating being too small, whatever. It's just like, you need your own private jet. Like, babies cry on the plane. Like, it's just, I can't.
It's a school bus, or it's a public bus. Like, just going to and from. It's not a private charter. It's not your own space.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, apparently, though, because the smell was so bad, they had to give out masks to the passengers that were sitting around her because it was so strong, the smells of the
oh my gosh.
And this tuna fish sandwich.
That's so gross.
Speaking of stories, though, yesterday, last week, which kind of stirred the idea to talk about all these things online, was your story that you had a couple weeks ago. So bear with us, people, while Victoria shares this one.
Oh my God. Like, this was definitely like, and I said, when I tell this story, I'm going to say, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, this is going to be like, in 13 years, this was the most bizarre thing that has ever happened to me on a flight. And okay. So first, this was like a couple weeks ago, we had during our boarding, there was like a man in his 50s. He was about 6'5", very muscular. And he's boarding the plane, and I'm working in the front, and he leans in and he's like, he pulls out 4 Starbucks gift cards, and he says, I have a gift for the crew. So we're like, oh wow, thank you so much. And then
we love gifts. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah. So we take the gift cards, and then he leans in and he's like, actually, he's like, there's 130 of us, a wedding party. I was hoping that during the flight later on, you could let me walk through the cabin in my Speedo thong. And he's like, don't worry, it's very large. And he's like, the thong, it's going to cover a lot. And then we're like, yeah, that's not going to happen on board. Like, so he was like, he was still like nice, but we were just like, oh my gosh, like if that would have happened, someone would have filmed it, but, you know, that would have been all over everything. So then that happens, and then a few people board, and then another lady boards with her husband and 10-year-old child, and she leans in and she's like, excuse me, I'm going to need a cup of ice throughout the flight. This was going to be a long flight too, like it was about 5 hours. She's like, yeah, I'm going to need a cup of ice for my medical condition. So, you know, like usually you don't ask people what their medical condition is, but for when you bring it forth, we need to know, are you okay to fly, right? So I'm like, well, what is your medical condition? And she says, I should have had surgery a long time ago, but I need the ice cubes. I need to put the ice cubes directly up my butt. And I'm like, okay, like this isn't happening. Like, so anyways, I'm like, sure, you can get your cup of ice, whatever. Like, we need to continue boarding, right? So she's me and the other crew member look at each other and we're like, okay, like hemorrhoids, like we don't know what it is, right? We figured out, though, me and you, on our last flight, what it could have been, whatever. So during service she gets her first cup of ice, you know, we hand it to her and we're thinking, okay, maybe she's drinking her own alcohol, so we were monitoring her more to make sure. No, she was like fine, you know. And so she takes her first cup of ice. She never uses the washroom through this whole 5-hour flight. So then she rings the call light about 2 hours, like 2 hours into the flight. And she's like, I need another cup of ice. she leans over her husband to tell me this. And then I'm like, okay. And she's like, you don't understand. I need to put those ice cubes directly right up my butt. And her husband's like really mad now. He like leans over to her and he's like, stop. She doesn't need to know these full details. Stop telling her. So I was like, okay. So I get her her cup of ice. I bring it to her. And then about like 10 minutes later, the flight attendant in the back walks through, like is walking through the cabin, who we've all like, she noted, like right when I told her the story, she says, I know which lady it is. Like she was already like giving, like she could just tell which lady it was. So then anyways, she's doing gas through the cabin. She comes to the front. She's like, oh my God. She's like, she's in her seat and she's leaned all the way down, like in her seat, and her dress is hiked up. She was like, everything is basically just hanging out. And she's like, you need to check the back of her dress when she walks off. Like, is it wet? So anyways, like, sure enough, like when she got off the aircraft, like the bottom of her dress was like, I'm not talking like just like a few splashes, like it was soaked. So like when I told the captain, he's like, there's poop water all over 12 Bravo now.
It's 12 Bravo? I'm just never like, seeing 12 Bravo ever again.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh my gosh. It's just like, that was definitely the most bizarre story that's ever happened to me.
And this was just a couple weeks ago.
This was just a couple weeks ago. And it's like, how is this even true? Like, I'm like, oh my gosh.
How is that even true? How would you, like, I'd just be so embarrassed to ask that, but it seems like she was proud of it. You know what I mean?
She did not mind, like, to share those details.
So Lena here says, as a passenger, she rates the landing. So do you rate the landings other than like how we know who's going to, like on another airline?
If we're probably, yeah.
Oh, that's terminology. Deadheading. Okay, yeah. I'll tell the story about yesterday. So deadheading is when you are basically positioning. So it's you're not operating. You could be in uniform or you could not be in uniform, but it's you're just not working the actual flight. So it could be deadheading on our own carrier or deadheading on another carrier. But it's just when you are taking a flight, positioning either to home base or to another province, place, spot. Okay, so we were supposed to work yesterday, and as we already explained, Victoria had to take a personal day. And so we had somebody else that was called on GDO. So for us, GDO, I think every airline is going to have something similar. That for us, it's a guaranteed day off. And so we have a few guaranteed days off every month that we bid for. So we bid for our schedule. It goes based on seniority. And so number one, seniority will bid for what days they want to work for the month. And then it gets awarded every day and it kind of goes through. And so when you have a guaranteed day off for our company, if they ask you to work on your guaranteed day off, you get double pay. So we're always kind of like asking, like when people are coming in after somebody calls in sick or takes a personal day, like, ooh, like, are you on GDO? Like, are you getting double pay? Are you just on a gray day? So a gray day is when you don't have a flight, you don't have a guaranteed day off, but you still can be used because you're not having anything with the company, the airline that you are required to do. So gray day would just be that you're getting regular pay unless you're into overtime when you get time and a half for us. Or if you're on reserve. So there's two reserve blocks with our company. Other companies have like airport reserves where people have to just wait to see if they're needed at the airport. We don't have that, thank goodness. But we have like an AM reserve, which starts at 3 AM. And then we also have a PM reserve that starts at 12:30 in the afternoon. And they both are about 11 hours or so. So she was, or the person that took over was on a GDO, and we're just like, oh man, like we're so, like we're just into it because we're just working for regular pay and this person's coming in and getting double pay, but whatever, it's totally fine. And so while we're sleeping, like I woke up in the middle of the night, whatever, and I noticed that there's changes to my schedule. And it's like, you get this panic when you see changes to your schedule because like, you don't know what's going to happen when you look at what's going on with your schedule. You just see these red notifications that says changes to your schedule.
Yeah.
So I looked at the changes, and now instead of, so we're supposed to just do a direct turn. So that's for, a turn is just when you start at home base, you go down station, and you come right back. So I generally do long turns, which is usually about 5 hours down and 5 hours back, 11 hour total credits, which is how we measure how many hours we are getting paid for. Just so if I'm only doing turns, I don't have to come to work that often. So this is supposed to be a long turn where you're just going to go down to St. Lucia and come right back. So now it's changed on my schedule to we're going down to St. Lucia and then we're going to Punta Cana. And that's all that it had on the schedule. And I was like, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen now. Like, why are we going to Punta Cana on Sundays? Like, A, we had this, but then I also work at my best friend's restaurant. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be stuck in Punta Cana. So I go back to sleep. I wake up. I forgot that the changes had happened to the schedule. I get to the airport and get to the actual plane and finally look at what I'm going to be doing. So we're going to be operating to St. Lucia, picking up the passengers who have been informed now that they're going to be making a stop over in Punta Cana. We're picking up a whole new crew and we're going to be deadheading back home. And the whole crew that we're picking up in Punta Cana is going to operate and take the plane back home. And we're like, why is this happening? Because usually we have pilots that are positioned the day before down in St. Lucia to take the plane back because they have duty regs where they can only work a certain amount of hours in a day. And so pilots are not able to do the there and back like the flight attendants can. We have a little bit longer period that we have that we can operate than the pilots do. So the pilot, there was no pilots that were positioned in St. Lucia. So that's why we had to go and pick up this whole new crew. So when we're down in St. Lucia, apparently the Air Canada flight was canceled that had the pilots that were supposed to go down to St. Lucia the day before to position, but there's no other flights to St. Lucia. So that's why they had to send a new crew down to Punta Cana so that we can go pick them up so they can take us home because the pilots were going to duty out and then they would just have to stay in St. Lucia. And then we could also refuse to work and stay down in St. Lucia. So that's what ended up happening. But it was so, the passengers were so angry, Victoria.
They're like, I can imagine.
Why could you figure this out? It's like, this is figured out. like it's air travel. It's a luxury. The fact that the pilots couldn't get there is unfortunate. But, you know, you chose to go to a destination where there's not that many flights that are offered to this island. And it's a luxury. It's a vacation. You know, you have to kind of be flexible with, like, what kind of goes on because anything can happen. If there's a mechanical, exactly, which is when something happens to the aircraft and it could be aircraft on the ground, which is AOG. Like, there's so many things that could happen that could prevent you from getting home on time departure. And so they were just so mad. They're like, why, what? And I'm like, I'm explaining to them. I'm like, well, the positioning pilots weren't able to get there, blah, blah, blah. And they just are like, well, am I going to get something back for this? Am I going to get money back for this? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm here like you are. I'm not getting paid any more money for being here. The fact that we're delayed now, like we have to do this extra hop. Like I don't get any more, it's no more hours than was already blocked for. Like I'm in the same boat. So what was really frustrating, though, about this was the fact that all the crew that came in to operate, so they took another flight at like 2 p.m. to Punta Cana, and then we picked them up and they brought us home. Almost all of them were on GDO. So they all
had more
money than I did. We didn't get to operate back, so we didn't make the extra money that we could potentially make for operating back. And then we didn't even get to take the crew bus at the end because we weren't the operating crew. We're deadheading.
What time did you get back at?
I got home at like, we landed at 12:15.
Okay.
So we wouldn't have busted duty if they just done the straight turn. It would have been closed, but if they done the straight turn, because it was only 4.5 hours going down, and it would have been the same going back, and so they would have been in their 13-hour reg, or pretty close. They might have like been over like a few minutes.
Oh wow! Right?
Pardon me?
A lot of passengers, right? Like people, they don't get that. You know, they always blame the first people they see, which is us, right?
Absolutely. And whenever they're complaining, we're not even getting paid, because this is something that we were starting a petition because we don't get paid until the doors close or push back, depends on the plane, and doors open or like the brakes chalk on. It's, or sometimes it's the cargo door. When that's open, that actually is when we stop getting paid. So when we're boarding passengers, if there's a delay and we're sitting on the ground, like if that door isn't closed and we're ready to take off, like we're not getting paid any money. So usually the time when they're complaining is when they're coming on board or they're sitting on the plane waiting for passengers or seeing if there's a mechanical, whatever it is, we're not getting paid. And so people need to know that.
Yeah. And I love that you said that it is a luxury, because that's how I feel too. It's like, this is a luxury, right? It's like a miracle that you're boarding a plane and you're about to fly through the sky to this beautiful destination or wherever you're going. And I feel like people need to remember that.
So Lovable Nikki's saying that Southwest had a reality show on A&E. That was her show. I'm going to check that out. I love that. If it's feasible, like I would love to do it. That would be so fun. Like so many things go on that are like, just,
I'm going to check that out too.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna check it out. Yeah, Lena's gonna check it out as well. I only watch Jets being repoed. That's fun too. Do you have any other stories that you want to share? Oh, did you what? Things that we love. Okay, there's a lot of things that are really positive and great about working in the industry. And you know, sometimes passengers are so nice and they come they come on board and they give us gifts for every single leg of the flight attendant and usually the pilots as well. And honestly, it really makes us our day. I've received, you know, $10 or $20 gift cards to Starbucks or, because we're in Canada, Tim Hortons. I got a little gift package that had a pen, a lanyard for your luggage tag, a lip balm, some mint gum, some hand wipes, and like just like a little care package with like a little note that's saying like, we love what you do and we're so grateful. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. It always, I say like, yeah, even if there's like we had a terrible flight and there's just one person that is like, thank you so much for today, we really appreciate you, it just makes up for it. Just for me, it's always made up for the whole day, because I'm like, one person sees me, like they see us, you know.
A lot of times we get chocolates, we get Tim Hortons donuts as well. Have you gotten anything unique or different than I've mentioned?
One lady brought on last season, she brought those, and it was the first time I tried them. You know those little, the bakery little nothing bundt cakes? And they're like, they're all these different little cakes, and they're like just filled with this amazing frosting. So she brought 6 cakes, one for each of the crew. And I was like, oh, and now I'm hooked on these cakes. They're so yummy. Nothing bundt cakes, yeah.
Never had a bundt cake. I'm trying to think if there's anything else as spectacular. People like buy us maybe bags of chips, like little bags of chips, little chocolates.
And it's good, right, for a long flight.
Say again?
It's good. I love them for a long flight, you know? We need that extra energy.
Absolutely. Trying to think if there's anything else. So we have some people here in the chat. Are there any questions that you have for us about flight life? We're going to be back every Sunday for about around an hour, where we're going to talk about what's happened in the news, you know, our latest flight stories. We have more stories to tell, but we can't tell them all in one day. So ask us some questions here if you'd like, please. We should do it. We should make it happen. Oh, it wasn't aware that you take gifts. I'm flying out of the country next month. I will purchase some gifts for the crew. Honestly, like they will love you. Like they just will be like, oh my God, that's so sweet. Where are you seated? And like, you know, if there's anything that you could do for them, like say you have anything that you can do for them. I'm not going to say what is that they'll do something for you. You know what I mean? They'll just treat you nicely. Yeah. Like whether, you know, they give you a top up on your pop or whatever it is, like they'll definitely just take care of you, and they'll tell all the whole crew about like how kind and nice you were. And so, yeah, if you want to have special treatment, definitely taking care of the crew is like a check mark on like making them like you. And
it never goes unnoticed.
Never. Do you have any more stories while we wait for people to generate some good questions?
Oh, what else? There's so many stories.
I want to see if I can find something that happened. Go ahead.
Yeah, do you have anything off the top of your head?
I'm trying to find it. So we do have like wild things that happen. People use it as an opportunity to, like you said, your friend that wanted to walk up and down the aisles wearing the large Speedo. We do have, so I had this one time, this guy and his girlfriend, they were sitting in the back, I was at the front, and we find out that he wants to propose to his girlfriend. And so like he got us all to like involved and orchestrated it, where he's like, okay, I'm going to go to the front and say that like I'm feeling really sick, and then I can get somebody else to go and ask her to come up here to help me because I needed her. And then when she comes up, I'm going to propose. And then if you could play this song over the PA. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. So like we actually did end up having this happen. I'm trying to find the video because I didn't think I was going to tell this story today.
I heard about this.
Say again?
I think I heard about this happening.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a video.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably that person would show you the video. And so the flight attendant in the back, he's taking a video of the guy walking to the front, and then he goes and taps the girlfriend and is like taking the video of the girlfriend going up to the front. And then we open the curtain in the front galley and he's like, you're the love of my life, blah, 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 blah. Like, I love you so much. Like, will you spend the rest of your life with me? And like the whole plane is cheering and she's like crying and like, I'm
tearing
up. And then they played their song on over the PA, and like they were kissing, and like, so I do have a video of part of it, but I don't know if I can find it quickly. Do you have any good moments like that?
No, I don't have. I don't think so. I know I heard of that before. I heard about that happening. Someone told me. I'm trying to think if we once got an email letting us know that something like that's going to happen on our flight today.
Oh, and no, ours was spontaneous for sure.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Do you have any more? Oh, do you know what? Actually, something that's people don't know about our industry is that we're actually not there to like serve drinks and like, you know, we're not there for service. With our whole training, it's about 4.5 to 5 weeks of safety, 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 what to do in an emergency situations, like how to get these passengers off in 90 seconds. Like that's primarily what we're there for, is for your safety. And in times of safety, when you're up in the air, medicals do happen, and they happen. I haven't had that many medicals on my flight, more than people maybe needing to have a little bit of orange juice because they're diabetic and their blood sugar is fluctuating. Or maybe they kind of get a little bit dizzy. But my 2 weeks ago, two Fridays ago, I was operating down to Rio Hato, which is in Panama, and deadheading home. And there was another crew that was down there, positioned down there to take us back home. And on their flight, they had two medicals that went down. It seemed like one woman, one was from a big group. It seemed like she might have had some sort of seizure potentially. And like having, like seeing how things went down, like with us using our training and like seeing how like they're able to, you know, get the attention that they need, we use MedLink, to discuss like with a doctor that's able to, that's like kind of like a doctor for everybody in the sky, where we are able to communicate with them to see like what course of action do we need to take? Do we need to land? Do we need to have paramedics on arrival? What kind of medication that we're able to administer? If there's a nurse on board, what they can do? Like, so we do have someone that we communicate with to give us like further doctor information, especially if there's not a doctor or nurse on board or another medical professional. But we had two medicals. So one person that seemingly had a seizure. So she was feeling kind of woozy. She threw up and then she passed out. And she was kind of out for pretty much the whole flight. They were on, she was on oxygen. Then she was sleeping. Medling said that she, just to the land, and we had the paramedics on upon arrival. And then somebody else was like bleeding profusely from their face. Like their face wouldn't stop bleeding because they were on like blood thinners. And like, it was just so like wild to see as a passenger, like everybody clock in and get to work. And so then I just was end up helping them do all of their services because everybody was tending to the people that were having the medical. But it just shows though that like we're not just there to do service. And there was a lot of people that were getting kind of impatient about the fact that like they weren't able to get their beverage as of yet because there were these two medicals that were going on. So insofar as the captain did make an announcement to be like, hey guys, like let's have some compassion and consideration here. There's two medical situations that are going on board. That's why the service has been kind of slowed down. But they will resume as soon as they can. So I just wanted to kind of put it out there that, you know, sometimes people are not really aware of anybody but themselves. And, you know, they just want their drink now. And they, why don't we have any coronas left for them? And sometimes,
yeah,
like our attention is to safety and the safety of all the passengers on board.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Like we're not there to get you drunk.
No. I don't mind getting people drunk, but definitely medical takes precedence. Have you ever had any wild medical situations on board?
I personally haven't had too many.
Wait, sorry. I was actually thinking this as a TV show, SkyMed. Basically MedLink and SkyMed. It's all around the world, MedLink. I think there just might be more than one type of communication that different airlines will be using to communicate with doctors while in flight. But I thought that would be a really cool like television show where you just would see all the different calls that are coming through SkyMed or MedLink. Sorry, go on.
That would be really cool. Yeah. That would be really cool. Yeah, no, for myself personally, I haven't had. I know a lot of other flight attendants that have been through a lot worse, but for myself, it's always been just something minor, like someone needing oxygen, you know, and that's really it. Like people fainting, passing out, and usually we, you know, pay for a doctor or a nurse and put them on oxygen. I think that's about it for my flight.
Hi, Diana. So Diana says, hi there. Do you get benefits around free flights for vacations or accrue free air miles? I can't remember the formal term. So every airline is going to be different. I think in the States, most of the airlines use ID90, correct? So I believe with ID90, they're able to fly standby on any other carrier or any other carrier that's within the ID90 program is what I think I know about American Airlines and some Canadian airlines as well. We are not part of ID90. Do you know anything more about it?
No, other than no, we don't get stuff like that. Yeah. We have like our own benefits, right? Like our own perks.
So for us, there is one other Canadian carrier that we're able to fly standby on for a pretty reasonable price. And so that airline doesn't fly too many places. So a lot of places in Canada and a few places in the States. And so we are able to fly standby on that. That's been pretty easy. I use that pretty often. For us, it's kind of changed a little bit since COVID, but we're able to jump seat. Most airlines will be able to jump seat. All pilots, I believe, are able to jump seat on, I think, any carrier.
Yeah.
Pilots are able to jump seat.
I think so, yeah.
Is usually sitting in a crew seat. I think pilots, if there's space on the actual plane, they can sit on any open seat on a plane when they're jump seating. But for us, we would have to put in a request to you to occupy one of the extra crew seats in the back of the aircraft. So there's usually two, sometimes only one extra seat on the aircraft that we fly on. And so we apply to jump seat, which would be in uniform. We could be asked to act as crew if somebody gets sick or if they need us to do something, we are able to be used. But we can basically get a free flight over to whatever destination that we were looking for or looking to go. So we have that. Most airlines, I believe, have that option. We also have some points that we get. So we get a certain amount of points that we can use towards basically the amount of points is the dollar value that we could use towards our discounted packages that we offer at our airline.
And our standby too, right?
We have standby, which is, I believe, $75 each way. We can take four like friends or family. And then we have last minute confirmed, which now is $200 each way. So we don't get the best of perks. The best ones to use would be obviously jump seating, where that would be very cost effective. With jump seating, we could bring other family members on standby because we just had to check them in at the desk, the check-in desk. Anything else?
Yeah, that's if they get on, right? Like, it's not guaranteed, but.
Oh, SkyMed's on Paramount Plus. Okay, I'm definitely going to check that out. So next week we'll come back. Maybe we'll both have watched. I'll watch the show that you recommended about the Pooge flight, or the flight attendants, Canadian flight attendants for there. And we'll watch SkyMed. And what was the other one? Was there one more?
Oh, yeah. What was that one about Southwest? You said you've seen it?
Oh, yeah. We'll look it up. It's on A&E, I think she said.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Lena wants to know, when the airlines were grounded a few years back, some flight attendants trained to become pilots here in the States. Was pilot training offering to you during the pandemic?
During the pandemic?
Oh, sorry. I'm like, what? Yes, during the P. Not that I know of. So I was offline for the entire two and a bit years. I only came back online last October. There are a few flight attendants that were starting their training. I don't know if it was something was specifically offered. Have you heard anything about this?
Yeah, I know that they were just starting their training like out of their own desire to do it, but I don't think there was anything really offered.
That's awesome though. I mean, it would be too much responsibility for me. Like, that's kind of scary. I mean, we probably just get used to it as you do it, but like, I'm like, am I planning this plane? Like, I mean,
yeah, you definitely need to have a passion for that, right?
Yeah. Would you do it?
I don't think so. No,
I don't think so either. Yeah. It's not something that like, well, I like driving.
Me too.
But I don't know if I like driving like that many people. I hated driving. Like, I've had to drive like big vans before and I'm like, I don't love that. So maybe I wouldn't like driving a plane. But no, I haven't heard about that program. I think that's a pretty awesome idea to, you know, use it as an opportunity to get some more pilots because there is a pilot shortage in general. I think it's across North America, shortage of pilots. So definitely getting more female crews. Were you part of the group that when it was an all-female crew on Women's Day, I think it was?
No, I didn't do that, no.
Do you remember what that was about?
Oh, yeah, that's what they do. You know, I don't know if it was the same thing that, like, Girls in Aviation. No, that's something different, right? This was just, like, celebrating the women in aviation with that picture that we saw.
Yeah, which is awesome. So basically, it was a full female flight crew. So everybody in the back, both pilots. And so they took some photos together celebrating women in aviation. And I thought it was pretty cool. It was pretty, I was pretty proud, we'll say.
Yeah.
We're actually doing
yeah.
another one. I might have missed the application day, but to have an all black crew for Black History Month in February, there's going to be an all black flight. I mean, it's happened before, I think. maybe like randomly, but it's going to be a specified like both captain and FO. So FO, it means first officer. They sit in the right seat, captain sit in the left seat. So both of them would be black, and then everybody in the back. So all of the four flight attendants would be black people as well. So that's also something.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, they're doing that in February?
Yes, they're going to be doing that in February.
Oh, that's nice.
Super that's nice. Okay. Hi, Ruth. Ruth, love the podcast. It's so interesting. I'm curious to know what your experience during COVID was like in the industry. So did you work at all? No, you didn't, right?
I stayed off, and yeah, I'm glad that I did, because I did not want to be a part of that. Like policing on board, the masks for kids. Like I enjoyed that time off. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely, I heard some people that did work. They didn't have that many positions, we'll say. Most of us were laid off for a few months. Maybe it was even a year. Like, everything was grounded for the most part. There's like maybe a few people that were working all the way through, I think. But I heard that it was really, really difficult with people in mask and enforcing wearing the mask and you know.
Passengers fighting about it. Yeah, like.
Fighting and like not wanting to sit near somebody that didn't have the mask on, and then passengers saying like, hey, like, can you make sure they put their mask on? Like, I'm very happy that I didn't have to be a part of that. And I heard from the people that did work during some of those years that it was really, really, really awful. It wasn't a good time. And also wearing masks was like just really frustrating for some people, because it's just like, you just can't breathe that well. It's just like, it's just not fun. It wasn't a fun time. Yeah. So I heard people didn't really enjoy the experience of working during those times.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Any final questions? I'm happy you guys have found this to be enjoyable. We love talking about flight life. We have millions and millions of stories. You know, we'll come with some different ones next week for sure.
Let's see. Yeah, for sure.
Should I talk about before we go? Actually, also, just to let you know, if you could send in your questions to, you know what? I'll start a whole new Gmail account. So give me like 20 minutes after this podcast and I will set up a new Gmail account. So it'll be called airplanemode@gmail.com. I'll set one of those up and send your questions there, and we will answer them if we can next week.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, and if you have any stories, like if you are a flight attendant and you have a story that you want to tell, share that with us either in the comments below, or if you want to send the email and we will share your story online, or if you want to come online, let us know and we can have a little segment where people can come online and share our stories. Okay. One last thing that I think I'm going to share is just with our experience is that everybody wants to know about layovers, right? They're like, oh my God, tell us about the layovers. You get to stay. Everybody's always like, do you get to stay? Yeah. Sometimes we do get to stay. And so how our schedule works, I think it's probably going to be very similar with all the different airlines, is that, okay, like I said before, there's turns. So that's just operating down and back, or operating down and deadheading back. That's just a regular turn. You're going to be likely home the same day. So a layover or a pairing is when you might operate somewhere and you might stay there. And then the next day or so you operate somewhere else and you stay somewhere else. And then you maybe operate somewhere else, stay there, and then come home. And so there's multi-day pairings where you would be operating either both ways or one way depending. And so basically, once a month, our bid package comes out with all the different flights and pairings are going to be available for you to bid for. And so, like I was saying before, the first person, number one seniority, the person that was here from day one when the company started, they will get priority of like bidding for their schedule, so they can take all the good layovers, all the good like pairings or whatever all the good turns, and you know, we kind of get the dregs sometimes. You're more senior than I am, so you have better seniority and you can hold better things than I can. I usually in the winter season get one or two pairings a month, but I tend to like getting pairings because I don't have to come to the airport that often. I don't have a car, so getting to the airport to and from is just kind of annoying and sort of costly. So I like to do pairings because then I'm kind of taken care of by the company, and you know, I don't have to go to the airport that often. Anything else you want to add about pairings and layovers? And
yeah, that's, everyone likes something different, right? Like I love my long hauls. I come into the office, you know, like 8 to 10 days, and that's it. But then I like the odd layover, right? Like I'll bid one every season. Like if there's like one overnight for 24 hours, like sometimes I'll do that.
Absolutely. That's one thing that I find to be really awesome is that like I build my schedule for the days that I want to work. And, you know, I pretty much get at least close to what I want. Like I will be working on the days that I want to work. I'll get the long turns that I want for the most part. And then the pairings is where I don't necessarily hold, but I held one pairing for February, so, which is great. It's perfect. That's February, good, yeah. I'm working 5 long hauls, 4 of them with you, and one pairing. So like, that's like my ideal schedule. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So good. Well, this was so, so, so good. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share before we say, what do we say in the airline industry? Bye-bye.
Like that. Yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah. No, I think that's it.
That is it. Well, thank you everybody that took our little new podcast, little, you know, streaming opportunity to talk about our life in the air. We, as we said, we have so many more stories to tell. So send us your questions to airplanemode@gmail.com. And like, if you have any questions or anything, either leave it in the comment box below. I will definitely be taking a look at them for next week. We will be doing our best to make this a weekly affair where at 1 p.m. Eastern time, we will come live and talk about more crazy fun things that happen in our industry that nobody talks about. I want to know about it. So nosy. So nosy.
Yeah, well, all right. Love it.
Thank you, everybody. And, you know, also you can still subscribe to this channel, Reality Realness with 3 S's. Like this video. And like we said before, just leave any questions, comments, stories in the comment box below or email at airplanemode@gmail.com. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna do this again.